Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Hello there, family. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Christmas. Our family had a very nice Christmas. We did a flying trip up to North Carolina, spent half of our week there with my family, and then drove down to Georgia and spent the remainder of the week and Christmas with Rochelle's family. So we had a great Christmas. I hope that you did too, and back here today with the rest of my family. So it's good to be with you and to be able to worship with you here today. Let's start off with prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the chance to be with you today. Lord, I pray that you would say something that someone needs to hear today. And beyond just hearing it, Lord, may they be able to actually use it in their life to make their life better and to bring them closer to you. We pray in your name. Amen. I want you to think back, way back. I want you to think back almost 5 years ago. If you don't remember, 2022, we had a theme for our church. The theme was Arise. Remember, we're kind of coming out of the pandemic at that point. I know most of you have tried to scrub that from your memory if you're like me. But we're kind of coming out of the pandemic. We're all kind of not sure what the new world is going to look like. But what we talked about in 2022, and this was my first full year here. I arrived in June of 2021, but my first full year was 2022. And for that year, our theme, we chose to make it Arise because we wanted to say we're coming out of the pandemic and it's time for us to get up. We need to arise. We've kind of had a break. Maybe not the kind of break we would have chosen for ourselves, but we've had a little bit of a break, and it's important for us to get up. And then the next year in 2023, our theme was Follow Me. And what I hope you're seeing with the themes that we've chosen, we've gone with a five-year set of themes, and they're all leading somewhere. When you arise, Christ calls you to arise so that you can follow. God doesn't say, well, just get up for the sake of getting up. There's a point to it. So in 2023, we focused on the idea of God calling us to follow him wherever he leads. And truly, family, this one is, if there is one of the themes up there that really is kind of my one that really kind of hits me the most, it's the follow me. Because I believe the ultimate question in life is, who are you following? It's not who are you leading, it's who are you following. And believe me, as somebody who has advanced degrees in leadership, I like leadership. But for a Christian, the ultimate question is, who are you following? Are you following Jesus, or are you asking Jesus to follow you? And for a lot of my life, that's really what I ask Jesus to do. I'm a planner. I have ideas, I want to do things, and for a lot of my life, it was Jesus bless my plans. Not Jesus create my plans. I was like, well, you gave me a brain, so obviously you're creating your plans through me, but Ken will do that part, and then your job is to sprinkle your magic God fairy dust on my plans and make it all work out the way that I want it to. And family, I have come to believe that that is just not what God is wanting from me. I have come to believe that God's ultimate question to me is, are you following me the way that I'm calling you to follow me? Or are you wanting to do your own thing? I've quoted C.S. Lewis this quote many times. I'm going to quote it again. In the end, C.S. Lewis said, in the end, there are only two groups of people. Those to whom God says, thy will be done, and those to whom who say to God, thy will be done. You get to pick. And for me, that's just a really important question to answer in your life when it comes to following. You're called to arise and you're called to follow. And if there's any of you that are like me or not great followers, don't get discouraged. God is amazing at recalculating. You remember that in the old days with GPS, recalculating, putting you back on. God can do that. You're fine. But do ask God what God wants and do be a follower of God. And so that was our focus in 2023. Last year in 2024, our focus was connect. I believe that when you follow Jesus, it brings you into connection with God and with others. So the purpose of following God is not so that you can get rich and so that you can have more toys and better stuff. The point of following God is to be in a connected relationship with God and with others. Remember the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. So you see the journey we're on, right? And out of that comes this year's theme. This year's theme was overflow. When you arise, when you follow Jesus, when you create connections with God and humanity, there is overflow that comes out of your life. In other words, it quits being just about God, give me, and it becomes about God, use me. God, flow out of my life. So I wonder where you are at almost 12 months ago when we began this series, when I talked about overflow, when I introduced it, when we had our launch Sabbath for the theme. I wonder what you dreamed for this year. How did you dream that God was going to overflow this year? We'll kind of come back to that a little bit more later. But can I tell you that God did not overflow the way I wanted him to this year? Can I just be a little bit real with you for a moment? 12 months ago when I preached that sermon, I had a completely different idea of what this year would look like. And I'm not saying that like this was a bad year or anything like that. It was just different. Because my focus is often on what God's going to do physically for me. I want better finances. I want better, more baptisms, more this, more that. I want this. And none of those things are necessarily bad things. But again, it comes back to follow me. If I'm called to arise, if I'm called to follow Jesus, if I'm called into connection, then the overflow is God's problem, not mine. It's not Ken's job to overflow. It's God's job to pour into me so that I can overflow. So what I'd like to do is we kind of reflect on this last year. Some of you may be into making New Year's resolutions. That's not my thing. If that's your thing, bless you. And I want to help you out a little bit. Because in order to really come up with a good resolution, you have to know where you've been. It doesn't do you any good just to make, there's a lot of, I mean, every year, right? The gym is full on the first month of the year, right? Like you go to whatever gym you go to and it's packed. And then come February, you get your machines back and it's good. Because what happens is people make resolutions without reflecting on what really needs to happen. And so what I want to do is I really want to take a few moments to reflect on where we've been this year. We're going to do that through the sermon series that we've preached this year, and we're going to talk to you about that. If you haven't been here for some of these sermon series, they're all online. You're more than welcome to go back and watch them. If you're like, ooh, that sounded like a good one, and I missed it. No problem. We got you covered. Go back and watch it. The first series that we did was this whole idea of what overflow is. We talked about overflow. We talked about it from a number of different angles. We talked about how God is that liquid that pours out, the Holy Spirit pours into us. I don't know if you, apparently we made it onto Instagram thing where pastors with illustrations, apparently somebody turned me in because we had a hose here and we were using that to fill cups. And what I hope you remember from that, what stuck out for me is one of the things I deliberately did is I put holes in some of the cups. And I had a couple people point out to me that we're holding the cups, it's not going to fill up because I have a hole in my cup. But if there's enough water coming out, it doesn't matter if there's a hole in your cup, it will fill up. And a lot of us are worried about the holes in our life. And we think, God can't do anything with me because there's holes in my life. I won't ever be able to overflow. Well, that's just simply not true. God is capable of making anything overflow because God can do anything. And the second part of it, and I want you to think about this, it hit me when I was coming up with this illustration. Have you ever thought about that the things in your life, those holes in the cup, that the water is overflowing out of those? Have you ever thought about some of the pain and the hurt in your life actually can serve as a blessing to other people? I'm not at all saying that we want to have hurt or anything in your life, but there have been points in my life where I've been deeply hurt. And because of that hurt, I'm able to understand people that are hurting that way in a different way than if I hadn't experienced that. And so sometimes God's blessing is that overflow through the pain that we've experienced that is a blessing to others. And we talked about that in this series. And we were reminded that Jesus said, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Remember, the water's not coming from your heart. It's coming from God's heart. And he'll do that for you. We then did a series called The Unreasonable Church. We based this a little bit off of a book called Unreasonable Hospitality. But we talked about what it would mean to be an unreasonable church. And a lot of times you hear that and you're like, oh, we want to be a reasonable church. But in the context of being an unreasonable church, we want to be unreasonably loving. We want to be unreasonably hospitable. We want to go above and beyond what would be reasonable. And we talked about God's prodigal love for us. Prodigal means wastefully extravagant. So God is wastefully extravagant in his love for us. So are we going to be that way with others? We talked about having unreasonable hospitality for people who come. We talked about irrefutable belonging, meaning no matter who you are, you can belong. So many churches, it's like you get to belong once you go ahead and check off these boxes. But that's not who we want to be at Whole Life. At Whole Life, we want to be a church that you belong before you believe, the same way as everybody else. We want you to find that belonging and know that you matter here no matter who you are or where you're coming from. We want to practice cheerful generosity and enthusiastic inspiration. So we talked about all that in that series. And if you're that kind of church, don't you think you're going to be a church that overflows into your community? An overflowing church would be an unreasonable church. Then we talked about This Is Us, and we talked about the difference between a mission and a vision. We talked about missions being kind of timeless, that this is who we are, this is what we're trying to accomplish. And we also talked about visions being something that's more of a time period that you're in, and God's giving you a vision of where he wants you to go. And if that vision doesn't seem scary, you probably didn't listen to God. And we talked about that because this year we have been updating our mission. We haven't changed our mission. We've updated it, and we've updated our vision for this church, where we're going. And I've got to tell you, looking at that vision at the end of this year, it feels more scary than it did at the beginning for me, because it is a big vision, and it feels pretty unreasonable to think that we can do it. And yet, that tells me we're on the right track. Let me ask you, in your own personal life, outside of this, are you thinking about what your mission is in this world? And then are you thinking about the vision that God's given you for accomplishing that mission? Are you thinking about that? This is a good time of year to do that. That's why I say I'm not big on resolutions, but I'm huge at this time of year on thinking, where have I been and am I on track for where I want to be going? Do you have a vision from God for what he wants to do through you in 2026. Then we talked about Ruth. This was a fun series. We take a woman who, a marginalized person in the Bible. She comes from Moab. She is not one of us. And yet she's incredibly faithful. And we found what an incredible woman she was. We discovered her faithfulness. We saw how God used her. And in fact, she is one of Jesus' relatives. She's in Jesus' genealogy. And so we saw how faithfulness, how outsiders actually have a place in God's family, because there really aren't outsiders in God's family. Then over the summer, we did the Wetmore family summer series, where we just talked about stories from the Bible that involved water. And we took a look at a bunch of different stories that involved water and the lessons that they give to us about how God can overflow through the lives and the things that are going on in our world. Then we did this one. This one was probably one of my favorites. It's news to me. We talked about the good news. We talked about the bad news. If you didn't know, I worked in news. I like to talk about it quite a bit. And so what we talked about was how to understand the media and news in general in a Christian context as a Christian. I see a lot of people hating on media right now, and it kind of hurts my heart a little bit. And you know, and I mean that across the media spectrum. I talked to you about how news was, we've kind of come into this idea that news is supposed to be unbiased. And it's nice when it is, but there is no such thing as being unbiased. Everything is biased in one way or another. It's just, as a human being, it's impossible for there not to be bias. And so it's just important as we look at media to recognize which way that bias is going, to understand that news is a business. They're trying to make money. And people say that like that's a dirty thing. Most of you like to get a paycheck. Well, the news media, they like getting paychecks too. And so news is a business. It's about putting eyes on television. I remember as a reporter, my job was the guy that you didn't want to show up at your door. I was the guy that did the investigative type of stuff. And if I showed up, you were probably having a pretty bad day. And it was about to get worse because I showed up, which didn't always make me feel particularly great. Side story, really quick. This is because I can. I moved into a new, we were renting a house. We moved into this new house, and there were these trash cans between my house and my neighbor's house. And so I didn't know whether they were theirs, whether they belonged to the house that I was renting, or whether they belonged to my neighbor's house. So we were moving in. We get ourselves situated mostly, and I go next door to introduce myself to my new neighbor. By the way, I was doing news on the island of Guam, for those of you who don't know. 150,000 people, one local news station, right? So, and I'm that guy. And so I knock on my neighbor's door, and she comes to the door, and she looks at me, and I see her face kind of get like, and I'm like, oh no, I'm your new neighbor, and I wanted to know whether those are your trash cans are mine. She said, just a minute. 10 minutes later, she comes out with full makeup on. She dressed to impress. She dramatically opens the door and she says, those are not my trash cans. I'm pretty sure she thought a dead body had been found in one of them. And she wanted no part of that. And I said, no, seriously. I'm your neighbor. If those are your trash cans, it's totally okay. There's nothing bad. This is not a news story. There's nothing going on here. I don't want to take something that's not mine. She's like, those are not my trash cans. So I am not sure if she had to go buy new ones or not, but I had some nice trash cans. So anyway, so like I said, I was the guy that you didn't want to have showing up at your door in news. And it's an important thing to understand about news, that people are just doing the job they've been given to do. And it's your job as a consumer of news to think about the messages being sent, to remember. Now I remember where I was going after I got off that tangent. So when I did nice news stories, because I was the guy that did not the nice ones, every once in a while I'd feel like my soul was so gunked up I just needed to find something good to cleanse it. You know, I got more phone calls on my nice stories. What's wrong with you? Slow news day? Don't you care? Why don't you care about the truth? Why don't you get out there? Because people don't want the good news. I mean, you guys will all day long say, oh, no, I want nice news. No, you don't. Or maybe you do, but the majority of the public does not. And they let us know in the news that they don't by how they watch. The good stories, they don't get watched. The bad stories, millions of views. So being a consumer of news, if you want better news, watch better news. View better news. And then the last part of it was the really good news. I said I had the bad news, and then there's the good news. The good news is Jesus is the good news. He said it. And so as Christians, we don't have to freak out during every news cycle because we know how the story is going to go. The Bible tells us. So we don't need to be surprised. We don't need to be shocked. We know how it all ends. It ends with a great multitude in heaven praising God and saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, and that is the good news. We did our great question series. You guys always like to come after me on that one. I got asked about hell this year. That was a fun one. We talked about our duty towards governing figures in this country. Is it our duty to follow somebody who is doing something that's unjust? Again, you got to go back and watch it because I'm not going to go through that all again this time. But through it all, what I want you to do is know that you can answer your own hard questions from the Bible. I'm happy to do it, and I hope you keep sending them in. But I just encourage you, go to the Bible with your great questions and see what the Bible has to say. See what other people have to say. And ask God to show you what he wants to do. Melanie did a series, our worship pastor. Melanie did a worship series called Jesus and Justice. I thought was fabulous. I really enjoyed it. It was probably one of the most, we got a lot of responses to that. People had some strong feelings on that. And we're good with that because at Whole Life, we want you to have to think. We don't need you to agree with everything you hear here, but we want you to think. And so I really enjoyed it. Probably my favorite out of that series was Jesus and the Soil. There's this, I'm a biblical language. I love the nerdy stuff. And Melanie got some really cool things about the river that flows through Jerusalem. And it was really neat. So if you didn't see that one, go watch it. All of them were excellent. Then we talked about Elisha and the double portion. Again, going back to that whole idea of overflowing, when we hear about Elisha asking for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, I grew up thinking that he was asking to be twice as cool as Elijah. In reality, what Elisha was asking for was to have the responsibility that Elijah had be transferred to him. Because in that time, that society, the double portion was what the eldest child got. And I told you about how the eldest child had huge responsibility. They had to take care of the whole family. And so that double portion was usually probably not really enough to cover all the expenses and all the things that were going to go on. And in Elisha's life, we see how Elisha asked for that double portion and then lives it out. And then last week, we closed off with our Christmas series. We closed out with an overflowing Christmas. We talked about prophecy. We talked about praise. We talked about how God can overflow through all these things in our life and through the Christmas story. We had a lot of good speakers this year, a lot of great speakers. We had our wonderful youth speakers that did a great job on the Youth Sabbath. And then we had our Voices of Whole Life that also did a phenomenal job this year. So as I've jogged your memory about where we've been here in church spiritually over this last year, the question I have for you today is, how have you experienced overflow this year? How have you experienced overflow? Was there a sermon that changed your mind about something that helped you grow? Was there music this year? Sometimes it's not the preaching. I've found sometimes it's the music. Were you singing a song and you just started crying and you weren't sure why? Or was there a moment where you knew exactly why you were crying? Or a moment you just felt intense joy through the worship service? How have you experienced overflow this year? Like I said, for me, this year hasn't gone the way that I expected, but that's not a bad thing. It's gone the way that God knew it needed to go. And I'm trying to learn the lessons that God wants me to learn from this year. We're going to have a song. when the song is over, our worship host is going to come up, and we're actually going to take a few moments to give you a chance to speak. We'd like to have you answer that question. How have you experienced overflow? Now, a couple things that you need to know about this. We're going to ask you to keep it to 30 seconds because we have a number of people here, and we'd like as many people as we possibly can to participate. So in about 30 seconds, do you want to talk about how you've experienced overflow this year? Maybe there was something that meant something to you that happened here at the church this year. Maybe it was in your personal or professional life, but how have you experienced overflow? We'd love to hear from you. If you're listening to this online, put it in the chat. And Madeline, who's our host, she's going to represent you here in the church. But be thinking, we'd like to hear from you. How have you experienced overflow this year?
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Tito.
And how are we doing today?
I am doing all right.
Okay. Like Ken was saying, we want to hear from you, church. We want to hear how overflow has, how you have experienced overflow in your life, or if you had a favorite sermon. And reiterating a little bit more of the rules that Ken has sent out, you know, about 30 seconds. You know, Ken, what's going to happen if somebody feels the Spirit and wants to speak a little bit more than 30 seconds?
Well, we are going to go ahead and gently tap you on the shoulder, because somebody else is going to be holding the microphone. Don't try to take my microphone away from my people. They're going to be holding the microphone. They'll gently tap you, and that's your 10-second warning, at which point they'll just walk away.
So let's not try to be, you know, half sentence. You know, let's keep it flowing, keep the overflow working. And Ken, just, you know, to get them ready on what they want to say, I want to give you my experience this year. It was during the This Is Us series. You were speaking on how we need to include God in our plans. Yeah. And that sermon hit hard for me because I had so many things that I wanted to do, and I never did consider God into my plans. And I was making plan after plan. You know, I'm going to take this test, and I'm going to bat after I pass this. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and never once did I stop and think, you know, hey, God, what do you think? And I kept failing. But after that sermon, I took to heart what you said and started including him in my plans, and things have changed from that day till now.
I'm dramatically.
Dramatically.
Yeah. When we were talking about this earlier, he had another word that...
I wanted to say masterfully and dramatic at the same time, and I came up with the word dramastically.
Dramastically, yes. I hope everybody had dramatic year, but yeah, I love that.
Absolutely.
And I'm so glad to hear how God spoke to you this year. And to me, Tito, that is one of the huge lessons of life. I think that a lot of us learn maybe later, and I hope that some of you who are younger are learning it earlier, is to ask God what he wants and to put God at the center of your plans instead of the person on the periphery. So, anybody else want to share how they have experienced overflow? If you raise your hand really high, we have two people with microphones who'd be happy to come by. And again, it doesn't need to be long, but if you'd like to share how you've experienced overflow this year.
In January, I retired, and it was so neat because I asked God to lead. In 31 years working for the state of Florida in public health, and that leading was by leadership. I was in charge of 7 counties for tuberculosis control, and last year, before I retired, we had more cases of tuberculosis in 31 individual states. Which was neat, though, is that I asked my counties to be as good as or better than the best of those 31 states. And through leadership, it was great. We achieved it, not me, but them.
Amen.
And that's overflow.
That's Amen. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that.
And we actually have Maddie online that has something for us as well. Right. Our online community is also chiming in, and let's see what online has to say.
Yes. So we had a couple of people kind of all agree, but Elaine Grace, she says, I can say I have experienced overflow this year by attending the small community, Thrive, and the Table. And I think that was kind of, we all, a couple of us agreed, the Table specifically has been such a blessing to the online community and has given us that opportunity to connect with one another, even if we're not in the same room, and has been given us that experience of overflow and sharing in the Spirit together.
Thank you. Thank you, Madeline. Anybody else have something they want to share, how they've experienced overflow this year? Right over here.
I feel that God this year moved my heart to give him my health. And it just kind of made me see him move mountains in ways I doubted him in the past. And I feel like his overflow of, like, let me lead and let me take care of you is what he did in my life this year.
Amen. Yes.
Hi, Whole Life.
Hey.
Hi, guys. I would like to say that I experienced abundance of overflow this year with being in nursing school, with being a mom, with trying to keep up with adventures, which I kind of sucked at this year, but, you know, it's okay. But getting a job and all the holiday stuff, and I haven't really been to church in a while, and I was able to quit my job, be done with everything, get accepted into the new nursing program at school that starts in January, and blessed enough to be able to attend last Sabbath here at church. So within all the overflow, even though it seems very overwhelming, I guess it's okay because I'm here, right? I made it to the last Sabbath at church, and I'm able to worship with you guys. So thank you.
Awesome. I love it. Yes, right up here on the front row.
I want to say that my overflow started negatively. I work for the government, and it was chaotic starting in January. Had it not been for the messages the church was giving, I will tell you that it would have been disastrous. But in the end, everything worked out so well. My work and co-workers, they saw something that came out of me that I didn't know, how calm I was, how kind I was, how, and I'm thinking, no, I'm not. I'm really kind of chaotic, you know, but they saw the difference in it, even at home and the things that have been happening with us and our home and the community where I live. I just praise God for the church.
I love that testimony. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, and we'd love to hear about them. If you want to go on to any of our social media platforms and tell how you've experienced overflow, how you've seen God overflow out of you into our community, we'd love to hear about it.
And I just want to say thank you, Ken, for doing what you do. And I'm pretty sure that you have something else for us today as well.
I want to tell you a couple things that about this year that I'm very grateful for. We started off this year with many of you joining us. We had over 100 people join us to read through the Bible this year. And I am thrilled that a large percentage of you have made it. And there are a couple of you who are like me that are still finishing it up, but you're going to make it. And I know you will in the next couple days before the year turns over. But good job. Good job doing that. And I know I've heard from a number of people, I've had several people who this is their first time reading through the Bible. And it really hit them how beautiful the whole thing is when you look at it as a whole and not just a verse here, a verse there. And so I'm grateful for that. That's been overflow. I'm really excited that we've had 18 baptisms this year. That's a beautiful thing. We've had two people who've come into our church by profession of faith. And we've had over 80 people transfer into this church in the last year. Probably one of the more significant things that happened this year is that we have, as a church, agreed on a 10-year strategic plan. I want to thank our current board chair and our previous board chair who did so much work on that. So Alfred, who is our current board chair, and Robert, who is our previous board chair, both worked really hard to make this plan come together and do that. And I'm really excited to, as we're really launching it in a significant way starting next year, is a 10-year plan that we're calling Amplify 2036. And we'll be talking to you a lot more about it as the new year's beginning. And then overall, we've seen an increase in the number of people attending church here. Over an 8% increase of people attending in person here at Whole Life. And so if it's feeling a little bit more packed, it's because it is. And that's a good thing, and we're grateful for that. But you guys are first service people. You figured out where to be if you don't want to feel completely packed. You've got that figured out. All this wouldn't have happened without you. It wouldn't happen without the service that you provide to this church. You volunteer in so many different ways. You volunteer in our community, and you also financially support this church. And I asked the staff to put together a thank you video for all that you do. So let's take a look at that.
Your donations fueled our School of Music, providing subsidies and even full scholarships for young students. Your funds helped us to launch a high school music internship program for mentorship and built a professional studio to record our music. So thank you for making these creative and educational ministries possible.
Because you financially supported our church budget and offerings, 52 families were prevented from becoming homeless and received wraparound care. Over 500 volunteers worked with over 20 partner organizations for over 3,000 hours of community service.
Because of your investment, over 240 children came to know Jesus better through VBS and weekly Sabbath schools. And your funding and volunteering provide respite for 10 families through Buddy Break.
Your generosity made it super affordable for our high school students to be able to go on a retreat. We were able to do a week-long community service camp here in Orlando, and we also are doing now weekly AHU pop-ups for the students. And lastly, we are able to host Advent Health interns here at our church.
We just hosted our annual barn party, and it was attended by over 5,000 people from our community. Thank you for your financial gifts that made this possible. Your investment in our vision and mission also supported 35 active small communities, Bible studies with over 40 people, and allow us to see more than 20 baptisms.
Did you know our building is in use every day with over 1,000 people using it on any given week? By investing your money in our offerings and church budget, you help us provide a welcoming facility to our community.
Your gifts fueled major outreach. Our church services reach over 1,200 people each weekend, and this year we welcomed 500 new visitors from the Red Rocks concert and launched New Connections with the Table, an online Sabbath learning community.
Through our website, newsletter, and social media, we are able to truly be a church without walls, reaching over 7,500 people every week with the good news of God's love. This year, we were able to use your funds to consolidate communication resources and save the church money in the long term.
I just want to say a huge thank you for how you're allowing God to overflow through you. I am so grateful for the tithe that you give. I want you to remember that that tithe goes to the Florida Conference, then on to the world through their giving, and that tithe funds four of our 13 staff members here at this church. But it is your local church giving to our church budget and to your church offerings that really fund the local ministry here at Whole Life. And as you come to the end of the year, I know some of you are thinking about your taxes and about ways to go ahead and give Uncle Sam less and give your church more. We'd appreciate that. We're grateful for our government. So give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, right? But Caesar is also okay with you making a tax-deductible donation. So if that's what you're thinking of, we would encourage you to think about that. And we thank you for how you have and continue to really support the mission and vision of Whole Life. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you don't believe in the mission and vision of Whole Life, I would never ask you to give anything to us if you don't believe in it. But if you do believe in it, then I would ask you to think about how God is leading you to help support that. And by the way, if you don't believe in our mission and vision, thank you so much for coming to church here. We hope that someday you will, but we're just glad you're coming somewhere that you don't believe in. Just thrilled for that. As we go into next year, God has even greater things planned for this church. I am convinced of that. And next year, next week, which is next year, we're going to be launching our 2026 theme. If you've not been here for a theme launch at Whole Life, you don't want to miss it. We have our new token. If you guys are familiar with this, we have a theme token, and this is what it looks like. But if you want it, you're going to have to show up next week to get it. And we also will have T-shirts that have our theme on them. And if you're here, they're free. So we hope to see you here next week for our theme launch for 2026. It is going to be amazing. Also, should mention that Melanie and Albert have written our very own theme song for next year. It is fantastic. We have had it professionally recorded and mastered, and it is amazing. You're not going to want to miss that either. So much good stuff happening next week. Hope to see you back here then. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the year that has been. We thank you for the good. We thank you for the bad. We thank you that you've been through it with us every single moment. And Lord, we also are grateful that sometimes the things that we thought were bad come back around to be a blessing. Thank you for taking those ashes and turn them into something beautiful. Lord, I pray that your blessing would be on each person here and that 2026 would be an amazing year, and we'd love to go home to be with you then. We pray these things in your name. Amen. All right. Just to be clear, I want Jesus to come back. I don't want any of you to die, all right? Just in case you're wondering, just be sure. Thank you so much for being here. I love you. Go love your world.
Hi. This is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.